It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
There's a quarter on the ground. Will you bend down and pick it up?
Yeah.
Because I will not.
Oh my God, look at this guy.
Wills and won'ts. Will eat a Cobb salad in a movie theater.
Yep.
Won't pick up a quarter.
No, I cannot tell you the last time I used a coin in a transaction. Did I flip a coin once in the last 3 years? I think I've used a coin flipping app more recently than I've used a coin.
I'm going to have a trail of quarters from here to your car for $10. You're going to pass those 40 quarters, not pick a single one of them up, and then I'm going to take them.
I would rather you give me $3 on one of these apps than you give me $10 in quarters.
Wow. This is not a mindset to become a millionaire.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Nate's laughing over here like he carries cash.
It's funny that you say that because I do carry cash, but I don't spend it because if I have to break it and get change back, I don't want to do anything with the change.
There you go. We're so done with the coins.
I end up in this weird place of having cash, but never spending it unless it's like whole amounts. So if I go to the bar, I'll just tip.
Yeah. Okay. In a situation where like you would round up.
Like, yeah. Or it's just like
I'm gonna instead of 20% tip is what $7.82. Here's a 10. Yep. Here's $9.
Exactly.
Whatever.
Right. 100%. That's exactly it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I can. I can empathize with that. That's about what I would do. I think also. I'm trying to get rid of the cash in my pocket.
Did you guys never roll quarters as a kid?
As a kid, I did. Yeah.
Sure.
As a kid, I did.
I always remember that being kind of like exciting because it's like, wow, like this is $10 right here. Like,
yeah.
So then there was that. I think, and you guys will empathize. I'm a little older than you guys, but not that much older.
Mm-hmm.
When Coinstar came out,
okay,
that was where I was really thriving.
Yeah.
Like, I was saving a lot of, like, when I was a kid, I would save coins and, like, have a big, like, glass gallon jug of coins and then ride my bike to Tops and with a giant glass jug of coins, various coins, and then get the cash and then go to, the nearest hardware store to go buy things to build a fort. My coin collection was really built for hardware.
Yeah, but Coinstar like took a percentage.
Yeah, I didn't care.
Yeah. I don't know.
Again,
you're giving money away for what? Something you could do on your own.
You're gonna go to the bank? Is it a 10-year-old? You show up to the bank with rolled quarters?
Yeah, why not? I used to do that.
Again, these are all things that we would do though when we didn't have real jobs, right?
That's probably the most important point of this.
Yeah. When did I really appreciate quarters and coins? Oh, when I didn't have a job. Yeah, when there was nothing else but the loose change between the couch that I had to go collect and, put together. I will say now, that open leading in, I do have the big jar at home with all the coins. And, it'll be exciting the one day in the next 10 years when we decide, hey, let's go trade that in for $150. Or, I don't know, how much could you possibly put in a giant mason jar with coins? I don't know. Joe DiBiase, Nate Geary. Jeremy White's off today. It's a Friday. We are going into the final preseason game for the Bills, 1 o'clock tomorrow against the Carolina Panthers. There's a lot to get to today. There is a new favorite in the AFC East by the betting odds. Depends where you look, but I know in some places, some of the bigger, more recognizable sports books out there, the Bills are no longer the favorites. We'll get to that. There was a wide receiver trade in the league yesterday that piqued my interest. But with the game being tomorrow, the Bills are going to play a lot of their backups. Actually, all their backups. They're not going to play any starters. Who that means, I think, still remains to be seen a little bit. The opponent, Carolina, they're gonna be playing their guys. Like Bryce Young is gonna be playing.
In fairness, they haven't played this preseason. So.
Right. Are they? I said this about Chicago going into the first preseason game. There's no team I'd rather see the Bills play in a preseason game at home than Chicago because you get the new quarterback, shiny new toy. He's awesome. He's got all this crazy talent. You get to see him for the first time. Adunze at receiver is kind of the same thing. this new look Bears. Cool. Let's see it. Is Carolina the last team you'd want to see in a preseason game? Are they the least interesting?
Carolina?
Or are they a curiosity to you? To me, very different than Chicago that I was kind of excited to see Caleb Williams for the first time. Is there anything about Carolina that I should be excited to see? Aren't they kind of seen now as the most dysfunctional organization in the league?
They've had a decent offseason, I would say. Right? I mean, they had a better offseason than they did last year.
Okay.
They fired their coach five games into his tenure, which is very definitely strange. A new low, it feels like.
It's part of the story of how people think they're dysfunctional, though, isn't it? That yes. Their owner makes weird press conferences and whatnot to Dave Canales, the new coach, by the way.
So I think about this if I was a Carolina Panthers fan. The last 18 months have been one of the worst 18 months that maybe a franchise has.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it is their own doing. Part of it is the consequences of their own doing. Taking Bryce Young over C.J. Stroud was part of the blow up in their face. You talk about a fear bunker. I'm not sure a lot of people were overthinking that pick. I think most people agreed that Bryce Young should have been the first overall pick.
Mm-hmm.
I was of the mind, I like C.J. Stroud a lot, and I really thought that his last game was a defining, Baker Mayfield flag in the middle of the field sort of thing, right? That was his, he's going to be good.
His final game against Georgia?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Where he
New Year's Eve.
Yeah, and he single-handedly almost beats Georgia. His kicker misses the field goal.
At midnight.
and Marvin Harrison Jr. goes out in that game.
Right.
So he doesn't have his best receiver.
Think Smith and Jigba was already out.
Yes.
Anyway, so
yeah, he barely played that year.
So maybe he had two injured receivers.
So that was an impressive moment. So they trade all of those assets to move up to get Bryce Young. They try to get the offensive coach, and that blows up in their face. And in the same moment that that's blowing up in their face, C.J. Stroud's becoming a star.
Mm-hmm.
So from a...
Well, two things are happening. C.J. Stroud is becoming a star, and you are watching the draft pick that you used to go up and get Bryce Young go. You're going, uh-oh.
Yeah.
The pick we used to get Bryce Young is turning into the number one overall pick next year.
Yeah.
So not only could we have had C.J. Stroud, now everybody's going to look at us and go, you could have had Caleb Williams.
And you went from getting offered two first-round picks for Brian Burns to settling for a second.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then you trade DJ Moore and he's a star.
Yep. He's what a trade. What a trade for Chicago in that deal. By the way, I've got that Georgia Ohio State game pulled up. That's one of the great college football games ever, right? 42-41 on New Year's Eve.
Yep.
Were others like me fighting with the rest of the party? Where, we had a big group over to our place. I think we had just redone our bar downstairs. So let's have everyone over for New Year's. New Year's, what are you watching before New Year's?
The game.
We're watching Ohio State and Georgia. But, the game's going kind of long here.
Yeah.
And what's happening now is all the girls are shouting, hey, the ball drop is happening in 40 seconds. Put it on.
Oh, my gosh.
And all
so
the guys
good.
Are going... He's lining up the game-winning field goal.
Absolutely not. You're not turning
it off. We can't change the channel now. And that was a hectic final minute. I think we made it to both, barely. I've got the box score open, by the way. You're on it with Harrison Jr., 5-for-106 and 2 touchdowns before he left that game. Amika Igbuka, that's how you pronounce his last name, right?
Okay.
I think he's going to be one of the top receivers in next year's draft. He had a big game. You know who also was third for the receivers in that game for Ohio State? Guy you're going to see tomorrow, Xavier Johnson of the Bills, 43 yards and a touchdown. So, anyways, what a game that was. So, Carolina, haven't they constructed the biggest fear bunker in the league today? Because, if Bryce Young does not turn it around, that could go down as the worst trade
in NFL history.
In league history?
Yeah, and especially if C.J. Stroud is...
If C.J. Stroud and Caleb Williams are both... I mean, yeah. Right now, it looks like they're going to be, right? Stroud had as good a rookie year as you could possibly imagine. Williams has as much talent as you could possibly imagine.
Short of a dramatic, like, Bryce Young, Carolina ends up winning a Super Bowl, which I'm probably not going to hold my breath on.
I mean, what is that? What that sounds like right now is, you know.
Is there a world ridiculous. Where you would ever in a million years take Bryce Young over either of those players? Now?
No. Not even in a heartbeat. It really... He was the most popular number one overall pick, prediction, ranked, whatever, last year, if I remember correctly. But, you know, it wasn't like this year. It wasn't like other years where, hey, everybody kind of knows who the top guy is.
Yeah.
There was a little more. I remember thinking, I wasn't a Stroud guy. I thought Richardson should have gone first. Okay. I remember thinking leading into that draft that, if I had the number one pick, I would be drafting Richardson. Like, it was at least up in the air enough where you could have a differing opinion like that and not sound ridiculous, right? Like, this year, if you say, oh, I would have taken Bo Nix over Caleb Williams. I mean, that guy sounds ridiculous. But this year, last year, I don't know. I think there was more variance in that way. And now that we're a year in, I am the one thing I keep leaving myself scratching my head about. About Bryce Young, tomorrow's opponent, is what is he supposed to be great at?
Yeah.
Because I guess it has to be just computing the game and accuracy and...
Can I tell you what I think?
The Tua stuff, maybe. Because otherwise...
You said it. You said it.
He's small. He's thin. He's not even that athletic. He doesn't have a big arm.
Like, no. He none just, of those things.
He doesn't really... do anything that is impressive. But he went number one overall. Is it Tua? Tua's the right comparison for him?
It has to be.
They both went to Alabama.
No, but like it has to be because if he can't do that, if he can't be a precision passer,
yep.
He's not going to succeed.
Right.
And
right, because I don't think he has many other
in year one
elite skills.
In year one, it was not good. Like they were... Like, it was really bad, actually. I mean, 2,800 yards, 11 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, a 73.7 rating.
It's about as bad as it gets.
That's bad. Now, again, it's year one, and I think we have collectively just lost the...
We've seen quarterbacks have years that bad right away and then careers.
Get better.
Goff, right?
Yeah.
Goff had a horrible first year.
It did not look good
year.
For Goff.
And he, who was his coach? Was it Jeff Fisher at
Jeff
the end?
Fisher, yep.
So you could go to, okay, well, the coach was so bad that, all right, this was going to get a little better. And that did happen to Goff. But kind of to your point, what did, like Tua, what did Goff need? Goff needed a system.
Goff needed the right system. And he needed players around him.
Right. And it's fair to say Bryce Young did not have that last year.
No. In fact,
but I don't really know how confident I should be that he's got it now. I mean, he's got a new coach. It's young, offensive play caller, but...
And has turned around careers. Has a track record of the last two quarterbacks he's touched in Geno Smith and obviously last year
in
Baker Mayfield. Turning careers around and turning them in. Like, if Bryce Young ends up as Baker Mayfield right now, I think that's a huge win.
I think they would... Take that.
I think
heartbeat.
It's a huge win.
Yeah. Last year, I mean, imagine if Bryce Young had Mayfield stats of last year, 64% completion, 4,000 yards, 28 touchdowns, 10 picks. Wouldn't Canales win coach of the year?
That's Baker's ceiling, right? I mean, that's his.
It's about his ceiling.
That's
yeah.
his ceiling.
No, it is. I mean, it's his career high and everything. Really.
Yeah. Like that's his ceiling. Yeah. So I think about it from this perspective is we probably are going to judge him too early, but. He's going to have an elite system. And Canales might be a really good quarterback whisperer. I'm not sure that I'm betting on him having like an elite level system.
Okay.
And also, I maybe want to point out that Baker Mayfield also walked into an offense that had Mike Evans, who's a Hall of Famer,
yep.
Chris Godwin, who is damn good, mm-hmm. and Rashad White, who ended up finishing like number two in fantasy as a
good,
running back. So,
good pass catching running back.
Yeah, so they had some pieces. They don't have a Mike Evans equivalent. They don't really have a Chris Godwin equivalent.
Right.
Let's see about, listen, I think that they went about this the right way.
They're taking swings.
I like Deontay Johnson for them.
Mm-hmm.
I actually like him a lot for them.
Mm-hmm.
I Adam Thielen is kind of still good.
He had a good year last year.
He's like kind of still good.
Yeah.
And they drafted Jonathan Brooks, whatever. I don't really love drafting a running back.
They traded with the Bills to get Xavier Leggett.
And we'll see what Leggett is.
Yeah. He's had an injury riddled offseason and camp. So I wonder if he's kind of behind the eight ball and maybe he'll be someone that kind of gets slow played into the season. Did you like him in the pre-draft process? He was someone I ended up falling for as time went on. It wasn't my favorite idea, but Joe Marino was someone that talked me into him a little bit that, hey, this dude can kind of do it all. Like, he can run all the routes. Like, the big risk with him was less, like, what he can and can't do. It was more, why did it take till 24 years old for this dude to break out in college football?
Yeah, and I guess that's probably where I was with him. I was pretty much on the train of, like, they should just draft any of these wide receivers.
Didn't matter which one.
It really wasn't, and this isn't a surprise, but it wasn't until draft day, until you saw the teams that the guys you wanted went to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where the emotional connection to a guy like Xavier Worthy went. That's where the emotional connection of Brian Thomas went, right? Like, ooh, he went to that team. Ooh. Like, you know, this conversation yesterday, obviously, if you know me, I'm very good friends with Aaron Quinn. We do some podcasts together, Cover One. And he tweeted out yesterday about, you know, the Jahan Dotson trade, which I'm sure we're going to spend time talking about at some point this morning.
Yep.
And he had mentioned a point just talking about the Bills, right? Just saying like, hey, they're like, and I saw this wasn't just Aaron's point. This was a couple of other people's points. It was, Jahan Dotson, like, doesn't really move the needle for me. Where does he fit in? And they're fine. And he made a point about Matt Collins being a viable NFL player. Starter was the word. And but the Philadelphia Eagles have two top 15 receivers.
Yep.
And they still went out and traded for Jahan Dotson.
Yeah. Yeah, they did.
So you can have Matt Collins and Keon Coleman and Samuel and Shakir and I still think that there should be the urgency has bugged me a little bit about this position. It's okay to me to say we're not going to be the team. We're not going to put ourselves in a position that Cincinnati's in. We're not going to be able to. And let's just say what it is. The Bills are not going to be able to do what Houston has done. They're not going to be able to surround a quarterback on a rookie contract with three really good young, two of them young, one of them just got paid, and another one that you traded a second-round pick for, and Tank Dell. Like, you're not, and Schultz, and trade for Joe Mixon. You're not going to be able to do that. But there should be, to me anyways, and I'm saying this with a level of ignorance that I don't know that Brandon Bean wasn't on the phone and just basically said, you know what? I'm not giving you a third.
Right.
I'm just not.
Or maybe I'm not giving you, or it could have been anything. It could have been, hey, I'll give you, well, no.
And it's,
I was going to say, they got a fifth back the other way.
It's so funny to me that, football Twitter, right? The NFL Twitter, is I saw a tweet that said, oh my God, you know, Washington fleeced them. They got a great value back. And then I saw it was like, wow, that's an overpayment for Jahan Dotson.
Yeah.
You know, like, there will probably never be consensus on these trades, and that makes talking about them hard, but to me, that, and we talked about some names, and he was a name we mentioned yesterday about, like, hey, maybe they should be unearthing the trade market for some players at the wide receiver position.
Yep.
There, to me, the lack of urgency at that position has been
a little
disappointing.
That is, like, we can say what you want about the Panthers. They have the second lowest win total in the league this year. By the way, you know who the only team lower is?
The Patriots.
Patriots are 4.5. Carolina's 5.5. You can say what you want about the Panthers. That is not the model franchise to be, you know, to be copycatting in the NFL. But to your point, like, if the Bills ever got lucky and did get to having a receiver core or a fleet of weapons like the Eagles have, like Houston has, like Cincinnati has, you gotta try. Right? You got to take your swings at it. And the Bills, they've now taken a swing. They drafted Coleman, but that's, you know, that's mostly it. Like, there isn't a lot else to chew on other than that in terms of the volume of swings that they're taking. Carolina, I mean, they're trying.
Yeah.
Right? They signed Thielen last year, and they trade for Deontay Johnson this year. Around drafting Xavier Leggett in the first round, drafting Jonathan Mingo in the second round last year, drafting Terrace Marshall in the second round the year before that. Like, again, they've missed on Marshall. They probably missed on Mingo. I think Mingo looks pretty rough.
Yes.
But isn't the point of their build or what they're trying to accomplish, they're making an effort. They're going after it. They're spending top picks on it. And eventually, you know, eventually you'll even luck into it if you're bad at it.
Yeah,
and
right.
I don't even, like, Carolina, maybe with missing on Mingo and missing on Marshall and we'll see on Leggett, I think you could fairly say right now, like, oh, they don't look like they're very good at it. They don't look like they're very good at figuring out who the good receivers are.
Or even developing one.
But I don't even know if the Bills are good at it. They haven't done it until drafting Coleman now. Like, they waited and waited and waited. They went years without investing in the position. So this is how you get here. This is how you arrive at a point where, yeah, I found myself yesterday wishing they had traded for a first-round receiver from a couple of years ago that hasn't done a lot in the league. A guy that 30 NFL fan bases went, oh, okay, Jahan Dotson got traded.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, oh, man, I would have liked him in this receiver room. And it's mostly because of that. They've found themselves at this position where, yeah, Mac, the defense of what they are at receiver is, well, it's okay, guys, because I have Mac Collins. And, like, no offense to Aaron at all, because I think this is how the Bills are acting right now. I think the Bills are treating it this way is, we're okay. Look at Mac Collins is going to fill a big role for us. I think any other NFL fan or any NFL whatever, analyst, coach in the league hears that and goes, what? What are you talking about over there? You think you're good because of who?
Yeah.
Because of Mac? Imagine if he had never signed with the Bills and you heard that from, he was on the Dolphins, and a Dolphins fan say, yeah, well, we got Mac Collins. What would you say to that Dolphins fan? He would say, what?
Yeah.
You're relying on a guy who has had more than 20 catches one time in his career to be like an impact player for you? I also don't believe the Bills, or don't believe Mac Collins will be relied upon as an impact player. I think he's going to be asked to do the dirty stuff.
I agree with that. I guess where I'm going with this whole point is, and you talking about all the, you know, different shots they've taken at the wide receiver position, Carolina, of course, and that, you know, this is the first real premium asset outside of trading for Stephon Diggs that the Bills have placed at the wide receiver position.
Yeah.
They've largely been, they've dipped their toe in the veteran pool, right? Like, they go out, they get Emmanuel Sanders, and that was the first time that maybe they had a wide receiver core that you felt across the board was...
1 through 4, that was a great... Yeah. That was a very good core. It was a great core.
Yes, it was a great core.
But since... I mean, that's 3 years ago now? 4 years ago
They didn't do a good job preparing for the loss of Gabe Davis and Stephon Diggs in the lead-up to it. They didn't spend enough time backloading that position.
Yep.
And then when they got to this point, they've added, you know, an $8 million receiver in Curtis Samuel, who, okay. But
yeah,
like,
I'm into that.
I think you need a couple of those guys. And listen, I really like Khalil Shakir. He's a former fifth-round pick. And when he was drafted, everybody that, before he took a snap in the NFL, everyone's like, I can't believe that guy got
there and that he
plays for the Bills. That's a good pick. And they slow played him. And they slow played him last year. And he really came on, became one of the most efficient receivers in football. I'm excited about what he looks like as a full-time, every down player, and probably their number one receiver, if we're being honest.
Right now, well, if Curtis Samuel is injured going into the year, then
I even think with Curtis Samuel. I think he's the number one receiver. Yeah. I think he ends up with the most snaps of anybody on the team at the receiver position.
By the way, so Carolina tomorrow, would you take the under on 5.5? Because I feel like I'm looking at their roster right now and just going, like, man.
They're tough.
That's a bad football team.
They're tough.
Their offseason, they did bring in some good talent.
Yeah.
It's just, it feels like overpaid for it. Like, I like Deontay Johnson. I like even, like, they poached Robert Hunt from Miami. But what did they have to do to poach Miami's right guard? They gave him $100 million.
Yeah.
$100 million.
It's a lot.
I don't know, man. It's more about the owner than anything for me. David Tepper, right? It seems like it's a clown show there 24/7. He was not the owner, right, when McDermott and Bean were there?
No.
It would have been Jerry Richardson?
Yes.
And then was there another owner in between, or did it go right to Tepper?
No, it went to Tepper.
Okay. Man, what a... Is that a Panther fan, man? They must be really having to living a tough life right now, because we just talked about, you know, like the losing out on C.J. Stroud, losing out on maybe Caleb Williams also, because that's the Chicago used your pick to get him.
Yeah.
Could you also, beneath that, be going, man, what would our lives be different if we had just promoted Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott? If we had just moved on from our... Who would have been in place then? Would have been Rivera and...
Yes,
Gettleman?
Rivera and Gettleman.
It wouldn't have been ridiculous, right? Would it have been ridiculous at that time? Because teams don't do that a lot. Let's fire the head coach and promote the coordinator. It does happen sometimes. But how often does it happen? The Panthers, when they lost McDermott and Bean, they were coming off a 6-win season.
Yeah.
They were in the Super Bowl the year before that, though. So that'd been a really, yeah, that'd been a real quick trigger.
They waited too long on him, though.
Yeah, but isn't a Panther fan thinking right now, like, man, what if we had done it right then and there? 6-10, fire Rivera and Gettleman, promote Bean and McDermott.
Yeah, they would have been... That wouldn't have been received well, I don't think.
No, but it would have helped them.
In hindsight, it was the right move.
In hindsight, it would have been very different and very much better for them. 803-0550 is the phone number. We'll get into Jahan Dotson a little bit more. Wide receiver traded in the league yesterday in division. He goes from Washington to Philadelphia. I liked that idea for the Bills. We actually talked about it a little bit earlier in the week, Jeremy and I did. So we'll get into that a little bit. Like, should the Bills have been in on that? And I don't know, is there another comparable type of move that's out there with the cutdown date coming on Tuesday? You're going to see more player movement, I think, in the next 4 or 5 days than maybe you've seen in the last month combined. All that ahead, we'll get to Sal Capaccio at 7 a.m., talk a little fantasy with Kevin Payne a little bit later at 9. I had a draft yesterday, and I drafted a player that I always rail against and have no other shares of anywhere, and I'll tell you why I found up drafting Tua. I somehow got to drafting Tua in a Superflex league, nonetheless. All that ahead. Jody Biasi, Nate Geary, Jeremy's off today. Preseason game number 3 tomorrow at 1 o'clock. This is WGR.
Here's the blitz by the Bears. Oh. Down. Hits Olin Duncan. Pass is intercepted on the other end of it. Running to the 30, to the 25, to the 15, to the 10, to the 5. Ready, Stewart. Touchdown, baby. Touchdown, Bears. Pressure, coverage, and the return pick 6. These secondary members are playing out of their minds. Every last one of them.
There was preseason action last night, Bears and Chiefs. Keep an eye on Carson Steele. If you want a steal at the end of your drafts in fantasy, the number 2 running back for the Chiefs might be their fullback, who has long, flowing blonde hair and might be, he might be new Mike Allstott. That might be putting expectations a little high.
Yeah.
Is Carson Steele.
He's a Hall of Famer, right?
No, I don't know. I don't know about that. Who's the last fullback to make the Hall of Fame? Is there a fullback in the Hall of Fame? There might not be. Steele, by the way, he had big rushing years in college. He wasn't just, you know, a fullback. He had almost 900 yards, 6 touchdowns for UCLA last year. The year before, 1,500 yards and 14 touchdowns at Ball State.
Ooh.
So transferred from the MAC, but had 1,500 yards rushing in one season. 3,200 rushing yards for his career, and he has been impressing at Chiefs camp. Might have overtaken Clyde Edwards-Helaire for the number 2 job. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy's off today. Nate is in. So, with the Panthers in town tomorrow, just looking up and reminiscing on the Bryce Young trade a little bit, we'll get to Jahan Dotson. So, here is the totality of that trade. Just we called it offhand, like, that's the worst trade in NFL history, maybe in the first segment. Here's what it ended up being in totality. So, this is a little mean-spirited towards Carolina, but it's true. For the right to pass on C.J. Stroud, right? To draft Bryce Young over C.J. Stroud, the Panthers gave up Caleb Williams, D.J. Moore, their right tackle that went 10th overall last year, Darnell Wright, their starting corner who was the second round pick last year, Tyreek Stevenson. They got their punter, who they drafted in the fourth round this year, Torrey Taylor, and they still have another second round pick coming next year. So for Bryce Young, the Panthers traded away Caleb Williams, who's probably a lot better, DJ Moore, a number one receiver, Darnell Wright, maybe a foundational right tackle, Tyreek Stevenson, a starting corner, their starting punter, and a second round pick. All of that for Bryce Young. Yeah, I think it's the worst trade in NFL history.
It's got so much work to do to not be.
The Herschel Walker trade's pretty bad too, though, isn't it? Right? Isn't it, the Cowboys are commonly referred to, like, aren't they kind of given credit for their dynasty, if you will, in the 90s because of that trade? 803-0550 is the phone number. Get to Jahan Dotson a little bit too as a move in the league yesterday that I wonder if there's a copycat move out there somewhere. First, let's get connected with our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. John in Buffalo, you're first up today. What's up, John?
Oh, hey, guys. Hey, a couple of comments and a question. This last preseason game, in what areas or specific players do you think are fighting for a job, or is this, do you think everything's wrapped up? Like, this game means nothing as usual, and we're just going through the motions, or is there guys there that perhaps can fill in number two or number three? And then a comment, I personally think preseason is really important. And by that, till this year, I'm following the Chicago Bears, and they put up almost 100 points in three games. And I know our mentality, not mine, but maybe yours in the media, is preseason means nothing. Dude, we scored 9 points. You look at Chicago, they scored almost 100.
Okay.
I think I'm going to put some heavy money on Chicago to be there. I want to hang up and listen to your opinion. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, John. I would just want to say tread lightly on that because the team that scored the most points in the preseason last year was Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
And Kenny Pickett looked amazing.
Kenny Pickett walked into Buffalo.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, he might be good.
Uh-huh.
He went off on the Bills.
And then what happened?
And then he got traded in this offseason.
And now he might, by the way, be losing the number two job in Philadelphia.
And if I'm being honest,
and Pittsburgh's offense stunk.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Their offensive coordinator got fired. Then they never fire their coordinators. Just, you know,
I think
take it with a grain of salt.
I think COVID year really did a lot for the preseason doesn't matter crowd. I mean, that was the Bills. That's the best season Josh Allen's had is the 2020 season.
Yes,
they did not have preseason games.
No, remember, Nate, he only had that year because there were no fans.
That's right.
It's the only reason he wasn't that good. To the original question, like, who does it matter for? I don't think everything's wrapped up. Maybe for a lot of the starting jobs. Let's go through it. Are there any starting jobs we think are still available? Safety, right? But nobody that's in that competition right now between Mike Edwards, Cole Bishop, and Damar Hamlin, I would expect to play on Saturday. Corner, I know we had a moment where we were starting to talk about, like, could Kyrie Elam unseat Christian Benford as a starter, but I don't think that's happening anymore. Maybe to the point where there's a little bit of a rotation, but Benford's not coming off the field. Dorian Williams, I think, has been anointed, like, no, he's starting post-Matt Milano injury.
Yep.
Defensive line, I think you kind of know your starters. Offensive line, you know your starters. Receiver, I think you kind of do now just because of the Curtis Samuel injury. Like, how is it not Shakir, Coleman, and Hollins going into week one?
Yep.
So starting-wise, I don't really know that there is a job. But it definitely matters for depth positions. Like, Joe Andreessen will play a lot tomorrow, I'm sure, and he's fighting for a roster spot. So that game will matter for him.
Tyrell Shavers. I would like Tyrell to see Shavers. Him get...
Yeah.
The problem is the wide receivers...
Justin Shorter. I think tomorrow could be a big game for Justin Shorter.
I agree. I think the receivers are going to have a tough time standing out.
Because of who the quarterbacks are?
I don't think they're going to throw the football very much.
Will they tell Ben DiNucci, like, hey, dude, don't worry about throwing interceptions. You got to let it loose. We're going to need you to throw some passes because we got to evaluate our receiver room. I wonder what they would do on that front. Because, hey, isn't it a big game for Ben DiNucci a little bit? Like, I tend to think the best idea is to replace him anyway. But if you're Ben DiNucci, you're going into this game probably thinking, hey, I got an opportunity
to be Josh
Allen's backup. We'll see if he acts that way. Because if you would think he would want to let it loose if that's the case. Are there depth line positions that are up for grabs? What about defensive line? We could ask Sal about this at 7.
Like, and the interior.
Interior, like how many linemen do they take total defensive line? Like 9 every year? 10? And right now, like who's safe? Who's definitely on the team defensive line? Like, I think that's a position where there'll be a battle tomorrow. Ed Oliver, Daquan Jones, Greg Rousseau, AJ Epenesa. That's 4 that are definitely on. Vaughn is definitely on. That's 5. Dwayne Smoot is definitely on. That's 6. Dwayne Carter is definitely on. That's 7. Austin Johnson.
Probably.
8. Javon Solomon. Right? He was just a 5th-round pick.
Yep.
9. Maybe I'm done. Does Kingsley Jonathan make the team? Does Casey Tuhill make the team? Does Cameron Klein make the team?
I think they probably keep 10.
Deshaun Williams?
I think that they, yeah, especially because Dwayne Carter's a rookie. Okay. I think probably Deshaun Williams, 5 and 5 at each of those positions.
Okay. Well, then, if that's the case, you still got, who would I just mention? You have Deshaun Williams, Kingsley Jonathan, Casey Tuhill, Cameron Klein. Like, you kind of got maybe 4 guys competing for one spot. So,
yep.
We'll see if Sal agrees with that line of thinking for defensive line.
They still have not put Matt Milano on the IR.
They'll have to wait till Tuesday.
Okay.
Because if they put him on IR now, I believe he would have to be out for the year.
Okay, he doesn't get the designation.
So they have to wait till next week. So that would explain that. 803-0550. When we come back, Jahan Dotson traded in the league. Was that a good idea for the Bills? We'll toss that around before we get to Sal coming up at 7. Joe DiBiase, Nate Geary. This is WGR. All right, quick phone call. We'll get to Sal. I want to talk about Dotson, but I want to get to Nick in Toronto. Don't want to leave him waiting. Let's get connected with our fans. Joe DiBiase, Nate Geary here on WGR. What's up? What's up, Nick? Morning.
Hey guys, good morning. It's Nick calling from Toronto, Ontario. Love the Bills. Love the program here. Just wanted to get some insight overall on what your expectations are for the upcoming season. I still just don't feel like we have, a very receiving core, running back core. Just wondering maybe if you have some insight if the Bills should have maybe done some more work in the offseason on free agency.
You know, thanks, Nick, for the call. Like, I don't know how much more they could have done. They don't have a lot of money. They're spending millions and millions and millions on salaries to get off the books via dead cap. Diggs, $30 million plus. Trey White's got a big dead cap figure. Leonard Floyd even this year because of the way they did his deal. Like, I think they're trying to clear the books and do the best they can around that. You know, like, that's where like I think about Dotson yesterday. Jahan Dotson is a receiver in the league, first-round pick of a couple years ago, hasn't done a lot, traded in division. He goes from Washington to Philadelphia. Did you differ from me? Because I saw that trade and went, I would have been all about the Bills being all over that.
I thought so. Yeah. Yeah, like I would have been interested in that trade.
A little bit of a misnomer about him. And maybe even I said this earlier in the week in passing about him being a slot guy. He's not a slot guy. He's not a slot guy. Last year he played 61% of his snaps out wide. The year before that it was 81%. So, 39% slot rate last year, 19% the year before. Samuel was the slot guy in Washington.
Yeah.
He's a big Matt Harmon guy. Matt Harmon loves Dotson, charted all of his success rates at each route, and he has a lot of green. You know, like he's a very good route runner. And I would have loved to have taken a bet. I mean, he doesn't have big numbers, so it's risky. It's why he didn't cost a lot, right? It's a third trade up, basically. You're moving up from the 5th to the 3rd to get Dotson or to get rid of him. The reason I would have been wanting to take the bet is, hey, let me bet on his numbers being what they were because there were 2 other really good receivers in the room and they had bad quarterbacks.
Yeah.
That combination of crowded room with a quarterback that can't get everybody the football. Let me take a bet on that's why his numbers what they were. But You know, is it
injuries last year? I think he started the season with a hamstring injury, and he was like in and out of the lineup early. Didn't really get to play through preseason.
That happened in year one too. He missed like a 4 or 5 game stretch. So, you know, where would he have played? Like, he would have taken the Matt Collins spot. I think he, at least in the starting lineup. I'm not saying Hollins would have missed the team, but you trade for a guy like the Eagles are going to play Dotson. He's going to be out there, and he allows Philadelphia, by the way, to get Devonta Smith back into the slot. So, yeah, I like that trade for Philadelphia a lot. I don't think they gave up much. I have no idea why Washington wasn't in on that. Why didn't Washington want him? Because of Zacchaeus?
It had felt like the new regime, he just fell out of favor in the new regime.
So Cliff Kingsbury not being able to identify receiver talent?
I got to say, it feels like they better have a plan.
Washington?
Is it Brandon Ayuk? Because are they getting back in that sweepstakes?
We should talk about that later, because they might be back in that sweepstakes. And that would make things very different for them. If, you gave up Dotson, why? Like, you don't have anybody behind him that's all that impressive. If the plan is, we're getting more capital at clearing some room out on the roster because we're going to go trade for Brandon Ayuk, then that changes things a lot. Timeout here. Sal Capaccio on the other side. Bills and Panthers tomorrow at 1 o'clock. We'll preview the game and preview, like, who needs this game to make the roster, who it's big for. That's coming up after this. Joe DiBiase, Nate Geary here on WGR.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.